Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 15th, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us do not realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And because of all the robocalls, you have a better chance of getting answered if you text it first. You can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the internet. It's live on YouTube. It's on some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's go to our listener base. And I want to thank those people. People like in San Diego, Chile, Nadu, India. In fact, we had a fellow on here that was talking about India last week. Anyway, Istanbul, Turkey, Hanoi, Vietnam, and Vienna, Australia. And in the United States, cities such as Phoenix, Arizona, Plano, Texas, Portland, Oregon, and Anchorage, Northport, Alaska, and Wichita, Kansas, you're back to being in the number one spot, at least when they go to podcast later tonight. I can't tell how many people listen on satellite or on FM, but from the podcast site, I got your number. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now a prayer, and we'll get into tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I really pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Give our guests the words that are needed for the folks so that we can bless them so they will bless you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, we missed him last week, but we got him on this week. Yep, it's Pastor Carl Gallup's time to be on with us. He's a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host, and he's heard nationally and internationally. He's on TV. He's a radio guest commentator. And you know what? This guy is on so many things, you just can't even keep track of him. Anyway, he's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's a founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. And you can check him out at his website. You can also listen to him. He's got this program called Freedom Fridays. Go over and check it out. Carl's written 9 books now. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roams, Gods and Thrones, Gods and Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message and the Identity of the Messiah, and now Gods of the Final Kingdom, which we are going to talk about tonight if I don't get sidetracked with other things. So welcome, Pastor Carl.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. Man, I love you. You're a good friend and brother. And, yeah, I know what you mean about getting sidetracked. There's just so much to talk about. But I always love being on the air with you and with your amazing audience. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, amen. You're always a blessing to have on. And I by the way, I really love the book. But I'm going to do one of those things that I'm going to step out of. I want to tell you something. And it has concerns with, you know, last week we had two terrible shootings, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And Oprah, of all people, made this comment, and it really hit home with me in a sense that, let me read you a comment and we can talk about it.
Okay.
And this is from Oprah Winfrey. She feels the reason behind the latest string of violence is that people are missing a core moral center. She says, and this is what shocked me, churches used to do that. It was a central place where you could come to, and there was a core center of values, a way of living, of being in the world. Until we can return to that, however that is, whatever form, we will continue to be lost. She admits it about the church, but she's a leftist. They're against the church.
Yeah.
Just for the record, we don't have to dwell long on it because I really want to get into your book. But what do you think about that?
Oh, brother, we can talk about anything you want. I'm here. I'm not here to sell a book, although the book is a jumping point for a lot of good biblical discussion. So I am looking forward to getting into it. But no, listen, brother, you're right. The Word of God told us that these days were coming, when we would lose our minds. When I say we, I don't mean born-again, blood-bought believers, but I mean the world and our culture, where there we would be given over to a depravity of mind, where there would be a great apostasy that would begin to sweep the church, like leaven working through a batch of dough, like the enemy that plants the tares among the wheat in the kingdom work, the visible outward institutional church. Well, we've been seeing that ever since the time of Christ himself, ever since the time of the birth of the church. But as it gets closer and closer, here we are, the first generation on the other side of the return of Israel, the first generation to have instantaneous communication information systems, internet, etc., the first generation to have all of this technology, robotic AI, genetic editing, etc., and on and on and on it goes. Here we are, and in the midst of it, we have decided in our own culture, the, quote, largest Christian nation on the planet as far as the total number of people living inside the borders of a single nation, the percentage that claims to be Christian. We still have 70% of our people claiming to be Christian, but you know and I know that it can't be anywhere near that as far as being truly born again, Jesus loving, biblical right. worldview, spirit-filled Christians. It can't be. So the bottom line is, we've wandered away. About 100 years ago, we started teaching our children that there is no God and that they came from monkeys by court decree in our public school systems. Right behind that came Roe v. Wade and the 60-something million children we've pulled from mothers' wombs and thrown them in trash cans, while at the same time, in the very same year, passing laws to protect turtle eggs and eagle eggs. That's a depravity of mind, brother. Behind that, of course, came the whole sexual revolution. Actually, that started a decade before in the 60s. And then the whole drug craze. Now it's an opioid epidemic in the United States and around the world. And so now, you know, the church has been muzzled. Political correctness. Pastors are afraid to speak on the hot topics. The Supreme Court says we don't know what a marriage is anymore, so preachers are afraid to touch that with a 10-foot pole. We don't know what a gender is. We don't know what childhood is. We don't know what womanhood or real manhood is. Matter of fact, we hate manhood in this country. We call it toxic masculinity. And on the insanity goes. And Oprah was raised in church. Her father was a pastor, preacher. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so she knows. She knows. Now, I don't know how deep her pastor was. I mean, her father was, and she was mm-hmm. in the faith, and how truly biblical worldview. But she has a foundation. She knows. She knows what this is all about. She sees what's happening. And then, but it's a little duplicitous of her, in my opinion, for her to say, you know, there used to be a time when the churches would deal with this. Well, it's like all of a sudden it's the church's fault that we are where we are.
Right.
Well, it kind of is. She's right. But there's been an all-out assault on the church and Christians and the Word of God and the name of Jesus and prayer in public and in God we trust an all-out assault on the gospel that Jesus is the only way, an all-out assault on the pulpits and pastors and mocking and lampooning and lambasting. And so with the culture the way it is now, where Christians, not all Christians, but a big chunk of them, are terrified to even speak out, well, then we're not being the salt and the light. And guess what Jesus said? When the salt loses its saltiness, it will be trampled underfoot. So we're watching the church and the Word of God being trampled underfoot by those with the depraved mind who are running the nation, and some of them, like Oprah, who at least had a foundation, are looking at it, and now they're finally getting it, but it might be a little too late. Now, it's never too late for God, but I mean, we're rushing towards the return of the Lord, and that's my quick take on it. Brother, we could spend a couple hours on it.
No, I don't want to spend a couple hours on it. I really have a lot I want to say about this book, Ben, then have you talk about it. But first I want to say this is, first off, for that short thing that you just gave, it backed up what I said in my last radio program I did by myself and then one that I did today with my wife and the inner depravity of mind and thinking. You know, not having that moral foundation in the church for whatever reason, falling down and not putting it in them, but also of single parent families is another major problem. But all of that comes from things that you did. So I really thank you for that. Now, I'm going to move from this right into the book because this is what I want to say about your book to you first off. Okay, the last time that we talked about this new book, Gods of the Final Kingdom, I had only read a little bit of it because I just read what was online. I hadn't really received a book. Well, you sent me the book like the through electronically like the day before the program or something, so I didn't get a chance to really get into it. Okay. Having said that, and now, today's a different story. There's a lot of, not first off, in the right mannerism, let's think like this. You know, Carl, you really, one thing I like about you is why, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you're an example how mainstream Christian pastors should be. Because why? Because you talk about everything. Your voice isn't stifled by politically correct. If Pastor Carl Gouts was politically correct, we wouldn't be having a conversation right now. So, but not everybody has a Pastor Carl for the head of their church. But so you extend beyond the church. You have a specific calling in your life. And this book is one of them because especially this book, you broke down things and put it in a form that people can read and interest them. See, there's part of the problem. You got to get people interested in a book. And yeah, a lot of us, we love all your books, but you pick up a book and people are, I don't want to read all that theology stuff, but you put it in a story form. In a story form that breaks down components of things that, like today, what I want to talk about is the component of, it talks about things like people being in two places at once. And how did Yeshua, was he in two places, and so on and so forth. But you break it down with a story in a way that people can understand it. And that's why this book is really important. And I want to talk to my audience for a minute. Folks, now, yeah, I guess I am trying to sell Carl's book, but not for the reason that you might think. I would like to see you folks get cases of these and give them away to people that just don't get into the Word and find the Word too hard, because it really gives great explanations to some incredible, incredible things. And I'm praying tonight, Carl, open up some of that for us. Okay, Carl. Now, that's my little about your book. Back to you for a minute.
Okay. Well, thank you. God bless you. Well, we can start anywhere you want. I know you probably shocked your audience by saying people being in two places at once, because as you know, and there's a lot of groundwork that I lay before we get to that chapter. But of course, that truth and all the others we're going to talk about tonight, I just want your audience to know, I do not pull this stuff out of my back pocket. As you know, Pastor Dan, you've read the book now. It is backed up by renowned scholars who have seen the very same stuff, who have talked about the same stuff for hundreds of years. It's backed up by tying scripture to scripture from Genesis to Revelation. I don't just pick some one little obscure verse out and try to turn it into some big doctrine or something. No, what I'm trying to do is to return the church in America to classical Christianity. And what that means is to the Word of God as the classical scholars, as the scholars saw it for the first 1,800 years of scholarship, all the way back to the early church. See, it really, things started changing in America after the Civil War. And so in the late 1800s to the early 1900s, there was a huge shift that took place. I mean, that's when the whole evolution thing fell upon us in the early 1900s. Then a few decades later, the sexual revolution. Just another decade after that comes Roe v. Wade. I mean, from there, it's been a downhill quick slide. And so the pulpits have adjusted, brother. The seminaries have adjusted. I prove this in my book. And the Word of God has been scrubbed. It's been sanitized. The deep things, the spiritual things that help us to understand what life is about, what it's about now, where God is going with it, what's getting ready to happen, why it's getting ready to happen, why you're reading and seeing the things in the news that you're reading and seeing, why the whole world is basically in panic mode, because billions of people, they understand something's getting ready to snap. Most of them can't put their finger on it. But this book and these God's books, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, and Gods of the Final Kingdom, it explains it all. Right, yeah. From the Word of God, connecting Scripture to Scripture, and showing dozens and dozens of renowned scholars who have seen the same thing. And when you read them, Pastor Dan, probably, I mean, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong. We're good enough friends, obviously. But you're probably going to find yourself saying several times when you read this book, how come I've never heard this before? But there it is, right there in God's Word. And so... Yeah. That's just how I'm going to introduce it. Now, we can get into the nuts and bolts of it as you ask.
I want to comment on your commentary there. And you're right. There is and I won't go into what, but there is a few things in your books that, and, you know, hey, I'm 64, say, I think you're the same age, whatever, but I've been out of the world for over 30 years. Prior to that, I always read the Bible and things, and I've seen things in these books. These three books specifically that did change my mind on some things, and really things that I didn't even think of, had never even thought about until you brought them up. But here's the key back, and I'm going to point to folks back to this book. By putting it in a story form that you did, it appeals to a much broader audience, is what I'm saying.
I think so, yeah.
Than the other two. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do. Let me just say, look, my writing continually evolves, and plus I like each one to be a little bit different than the other. I don't want them all to be cookie cutter things, you know. But
right.
But yeah, listen. In these three God's books, all of them have very short chapters. Okay, Gods and Thrones. I guess they average probably 7 pages each. That means some of them are 8 or 9 or 10 pages. Some of them are 4 or 5. Gods of Ground Zero, the chapters average 5 pages each. And I mean literally. I checked them out before I sent it to the publisher. Gods of the Final Kingdom, this one, average 5 pages each. So I think I'm beginning to get the art of getting things said in short, snappy chapters. The other thing is I used what I'm going to call narrative form. You're calling it storytelling, and it's exactly the same thing. But I used some storytelling. Listen, in my very first book, Magic Man in the Sky, I used storytelling.
I love that book.
Thank you. And in Final Warning, I used storytelling. I did in the first Rabbi That Found Messiah book. So I love using storytelling. But you're right. This one, Final Kingdom, I started, first of all, the first 4 or 5 chapters. Now, folks, remember, they're 5 pages each. So it's like reading one 20-page chapter, which is how books used to be written. But in the first 4 or 5 chapters, I tell a story, a true story of something that happened to me in my ministry early on that has driven me with power ever since. I had a visitation from an angel. And I mean, it's all biblical. It's backed up. There were witnesses. So please don't freak out when you hear me say that. It's the only one I've ever had. I'm not one of these guys that sees angels every day and talks to them. I'm just telling you, this was monumental. It was powerful, and it goes to the truth of this book. So you start off with that. After that's over with, I slip right into what Pastor Dan is talking about. I take you all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and I put you there as an observer, listening to the conversations, watching what all is happening, getting you to feel it, smell it, you know, taste it, touch it. I mean, hopefully my writing's that good, but that's what I tried to do. And I bring you from the Garden of Eden right on up through history into the Jordan River where John is baptizing and where he finally baptizes Jesus, then into the wilderness where Jesus confronts Satan. I know that a lot of people say Satan confronts Jesus, but that's not true. The biblical truth is Jesus went there to confront Satan, and it happened, and I put you there in that wilderness with Jesus. You get to experience what he saw when Satan finally appears, what he experienced, what he felt, what happened to him, why these temptations came. All right, so that takes up probably, I don't know, I haven't counted. I've got the book in front of me. I could look. Probably the first 70 pages of the book. Now, remember, that's 5 pages for each chapter. So what are we talking about, 15 chapters or so? But then after that, I go into explaining the things that I said in that story, because I say some things that people are like, the Bible doesn't say that happened. But yet when you get into me explaining it, you realize, oh, yes, it did. And not only did the Bible say that happened, and you say, well, how did I miss that? Not only that, but dozens of reputable, renowned scholars saw it for 1,800 years, and they wrote about it, and the church used to preach about it, but now they don't, and it makes all the difference in the world in how we understand the scriptures and how we understand who we are in Jesus Christ. Is that a good synopsis?
Yeah, that's pretty excellent. Let me say this, because we're going to be going to break in a minute. Let me say this. What's really... It just captures you. It takes you there, and it takes you away, but yet the explanations for some of these things that people find hard to get around or find maybe boring or whatever, you change all that. And then, like you say, then you do the Carl Gallup thing and prove it, you know, and I think that's where your old investigator stuff things come in, because, you know, you used to be an investigator, and you still investigate. You're just investigating for the kingdom. There's just a little bit of difference, you know.
Thank you.
That's really great.
Yeah, and then I was going to say, and then I want to tell your audience that after I do all of that, then I end the book. I take you right back into a narrative. I bring you right into John's life, John the Revelator, and I bring you to his deathbed. And I bring you into the house and into the room as he's getting ready to meet the Lord. And there are 4 or 5 chapters there. But before that, I take you right to the cross again, like I did in Gods of Ground Zero. But I don't just retell it word for word. It's a different narrative from a different perspective. I take you right to the cross. You are standing in the crowd. You are experiencing all of that and the demonic realm that's involved in it. I take you to the Garden of Gethsemane in story form. I put you there. You feel it. You smell the air. You taste it. And then I take you right into John's deathbed.
We
got to
go, Carl. We got less than 6 seconds. Hey,
okay,
folks, we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Fire on the mountain. Moses went to see. The bush was burning with the flame. By the power of God's glory, standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. Take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing on holy ground. Holy crown, they were standing, holy crown. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, must have had their sandals off, and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing, standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, "You come with sword and shield, but I am the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." And he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, 'cause he was standing, standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing, standing on holy ground. Are you standing, standing on holy ground?
In the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul expresses fear that just as the serpent beguiled Eve, believers would be deceived by another gospel and another spirit, leading people to worship what he calls another Jesus. Not the Jesus of the Bible, but an imposter. In the year 273 AD, the Roman Emperor Aurelian instituted the cult of Sol Invictus, which became the religion of Roman soldiers. Various aspects of worship included water baptism, the sign of the cross, a Lord's Supper, and the December 25th celebration of his birth. The day of worship was known as Day Solis, the day of the sun, or Sunday. Frescoes or wall paintings depict the sun god Sol Invictus in exactly the same manner as supposed paintings of Christ, with the nimbus or radiant glow around the head. Most people calling themselves Christians, when shown a picture of Sol Invictus and asked who it represents, respond by saying Jesus without the slightest hesitation. The Apostle Paul's concerns were well founded. Let us consider his advice. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, I do need to implore you. We're not quite out of the summer slump, so pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church and support the radio program. We're only on the air from your kind donations. And, folks, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, call and give a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. And now we are back with one of my most favorite guests and yours, Pastor Carl Gallups. You're with me, Carl.
Oh, man, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always great to have you on. You're one of my favorite guests, really are, if not my most favorite. But I try not to play favorites, you know what I mean?
You're so kind. I love being on your show. You know, I got to say this. I was talking to my wife the other day. Pastor Dan, I think I'm almost positive that you were the very first media interview I did when I wrote Magic Man in the Sky. And I can remember you interviewing me on that book. I was going to preach a conference somewhere in Alabama, Walker County, I think. I was in a motel room, and I did the interview from a motel room, and I clicked into Messiah's Branch. We did it by phone. So you and I go way back, brother, and you were the very first media that ever interviewed me for anything, and it was that book.
Absolutely, and it was, and it's still one of my most favorite books. But for the record, Carl, you know, Jonathan Kahn, I was like his second interview, and the second time he was on was the first time he bounced the – in fact, he said it. He says, we talked about last week, Pastor Dan, about, you know, Harbinger. He said, but I've got this new thing that I'm working on. I want to bounce it off your head. It's called the Shemitah. And so there is a lot of guys out there like Joel Richardson's and other ones that date back that far with me, and I've been doing this a long time, you know. Anyway, but yeah, amen. And I appreciate you being on with me, and it's just great. Let's go with this though. The reason why I picked this about being in two places at once, because in your book, here on the radio program, you've talked about having a vision before. You know, we call that an open vision. I've had open visions. You've had them. A lot of people can't understand how that works, but your book explains that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, again, rather than getting into all the nuts and bolts of it, let people read the book. And it's really easy to read and understand, folks. Yeah. But I just want to remind your audience, I'm just going to talk about it as though it just is, and you can get the book, you can see the scholars that agree, the scriptures that agree, the language studies that agree, but to keep it short and simple, I'm just going to speak and tell you I'm not pulling this out of my back pocket. It's all proven in the book in several ways. Here's the deal. Open visions are the result of a dimensional shift, a portal being opened. We live in a universe, probably multiple universes. Now, this is one of the theories of physics that's really, really foundationed upon tons of good scientific theory. So we can only speculate, yet the Bible tells us that there are multiple dimensions of physical reality, even multiple universes, and I can explain that in a few moments. And now science has caught up and said that. I mean, the whole CERN Hadron Collider in Switzerland, and China's building one. And I talk about this in my book. That's the world's largest man-made machine in the world. Thousands of scientists spent decades, and now there are thousands of employees there. And what are they doing? They are examining the multiple dimensions that exist. They're trying to find what they say are the portals to them. They know they exist. They're looking for the entrances, and they literally say, the directors of those organizations, I've got them quoted in my book, they say, we want to find the portals so we can see what comes out of them, or so that we can put something in them, in these other dimensions. Now, that's kind of scary to think about, but that's what these people that don't have God in their life are trying to do. So the bottom line is, but the Bible's been telling us since the opening pages that there are multiple dimensions of physical reality that exist side by side, yet some of these dimensions are totally unseeable and unknowable and unexperienceable by us in our fallen human fleshly bodies and condition. We are like goldfish in a goldfish bowl. In fact, I have several chapters with this expanded illustration, wherein a goldfish on a huge tank on the side of a wall in a mansion, they think that's their whole world. All they can do, they can see little shadowy figures through the glass. And what does the Bible say? We see through a glass dimly. Just like a goldfish. We see things, but we really don't understand what's on the other side. Now, the Word of God tells us what's on the other side. Jesus came to show us what's on the other side and how he could go from dimension to dimension, from the cross to paradise. He told the thief on the cross, today, this moment, today, you will be with me in paradise. So Jesus, his body was put in the grave, but there was a dimensional shift. He, the essence of him, his life in a glorified body, entered paradise, and so did the thief on the cross, instantly, that day, that moment. Now, how did that happen? Well, the Word of God doesn't
exactly tell us. It tells us that we've got to believe. We got to have faith and believe that God's word is there, or we don't even belong to the Lord. Without faith, we can't even believe that there is a God. So the bottom line is, the Bible explains these multiple dimensions, even in the very end, where it says that Satan and his demons and the beast and the false prophet will be thrown into the lake of fire, where they will be tormented day and night. And the implication is they will be completely separated from us forever. Satan will finally be the Lord of nothing. We will see him no more, because then Revelation 22 says, then comes the new paradise, and the throne of God is there, and the river of life is there, and the tree of life is there. Well, that's the Garden of Eden. Yes, because Revelation 16 has already told us that the sky in that day will be rolled up like a scroll. And the classical scholars, you know how they explain that? They said, another dimension has unfolded right before us. They didn't use the word dimension because they didn't understand dimensions and portals and time travel, but they literally said that there is a shaking in the universe. The elements are changed such that something else that has always been there is finally revealed to us. They're talking about multiple dimensions, Pastor Dan. Now, you never hear this preaching from pulpits anymore, but that explains death. It explains life. It explains visions. It explains angelic visitations. It explains why Jesus calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. Why Paul says our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. They're working behind the thrones in the what? The unseen realm, in the heavenly places, in dark places. Well, that's multiple dimensions. There are portals through which people can go. If they're in Jesus Christ, they go to paradise. If they're not, they're like the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man went to hell in prison, and there was a chasm between that dimension and the dimension of paradise. Jesus talked about it. And so all of that's in the Bible, and that explains it, the multiple dimensions. Quantum physics understands it. The Bible has been talking about it for thousands of years. The classical scholars see it. Scripture after scripture after scripture connects to this truth. But most Christians don't have a clue.
Okay. Amen. You mentioned, hell and, the lake of fire and all that. And I like the way that you break it down in the sense that the realization of being two different places, you could call one maybe even a holding place, a cell, and then the other. Because the Bible, there's so many preachers that try to, they try to describe everything as one thing, and then when they get into that, they don't realize that there's a break and it's different. You know what I'm saying? And so you make those kinds of explanations in it. And another thing that you really add in all this, which is really important, is you give such a great explanation of Satan and who his character is, and it puts a lot more understanding and makes him more of a believable character, if you will. Back to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, he should be a believable character. He doesn't want to be, though. That's part of his masquerade. That's part of his charade, is to, the great C.S. Lewis said that, and Paul Harvey, he said, he opined, if I was Satan, I would make sure that nobody believed in me. If I was Satan, I'd be happy if people thought I was a figment of their imagination. But it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Satan is the man behind the curtain, pulling the levers and pushing the buttons and turning, twisting the knobs. But really, like God says in Isaiah 14, in the end of it all, the nations will look and it said, so you're the burnt stick of a man that the nations feared and trembled. In other words, he will be mocked when God finally brings him before the throne and the world sees that Satan was powerful. But he was not God. He was faking it. He was the little man behind the curtain, casting an image upon Oz of this great big, horrible head that screamed at everybody. Everybody was terrified of. But it's a charade. It's a masquerade. And so, yeah, what I do in my book is I take you into the garden and I show you. I mean, you get to kind of see him. You see him again at the temptation of Jesus. Those are two places in the Bible where Satan actually shows up, And he yeah. wasn't a talking snake. That's a metaphor. The Bible says it's a metaphor. So I show you what the Bible really says he is, and you get to see it in the theater of your imagination.
Okay. I got two things on that. One, the garden, and we can, as soon as I get done, you can even just go into a better explanation about that, because, you know, that's where it all started in. And you really give some great details that makes that whole encounter more believable and understandable. But I have to say, you know, you talk about between Satan and Yeshua, that encounter where the Satan, the devil, thought he was being the adversary, but it was actually just more or less a trap by Yeshua.
Yes.
And where the hunter did indeed become the hunted. And that's great job. You did a great job on that.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
But maybe, you know, we've got probably 10 minutes left. You can take them into the garden or just go wherever you want about the book, if you will. I don't just take them through the end of things, Carl. We want them to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. No, and I can say what I'm doing is just, I'm explaining what life and death is really all about according to the Word of God. I'm blending it with scientific truths that we know, blending that with dozens of scholars, dozens of classical scholars who for hundreds and hundreds of years have seen the same truths that I'm revealing. They wrote extensively about it, so I'm not just making this stuff up. And I tie it all together. And then I put it in story form, too, so that the listeners, your listeners, and I'm just going to say you, I'm talking to them, so that you guys can feel it and put yourself there. And hopefully you'll have some aha moments. I'm telling you, when my wife did the first edit, and then we send it to the publishers and they do deep, deep edits on it. But we always do a first edit just to make sure it's presentable. She came back to me after reading that book for 3 or 4 days and editing it. And she said, you know, I learned so much. She said, this is one of the best books you've ever written. I said, well, thank you. And then, brother, I sent it to the publishers. And after about a week, I got a personal letter from the editor saying the same thing, saying it's hard for me to edit this book. And when I first saw that sentence, I thought, oh, no, they're telling me it's terrible. And I kept reading. And she said, I can't quit just reading it. I she said, I'm learning so much. It's blowing me away. She said, I've never seen this, but you're right. You've documented it. You've cataloged it. She said, I just want you to know I'm on my third pass through it now. And she says, this is the hardest book I've ever edited because I just won't sit here and read it. So yeah. that's what the editor said. So that's what they said. I'm not bragging on. I'm just saying all praise to Jesus. If it really helps people to understand stuff that well, then praise God. But I'm just trying to unravel the mystery of life and death and where we're headed and what's getting ready to happen. And it ends very positively, don't you think? I mean,
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't like talking about endings of book, but yeah, amen. You know, you tell a story and it ends on a positive note for sure. And I was serious at the first of the program when I said that I would like to see our listeners buy cases of these books, because you could get, just for what you said just now, she said, well, the person that's edited it, well, I love this book. I can't hardly edit it. And your wife. Amen. That's how I felt. I mean, this is great. I want to give it to everybody. I want people to read it because, you know, you bring in an interest to it, but yet you explain it in the Carl Gallup's way, and you use backup proof. There's the investigator thing. You use backup proof. You tell where it came from. Others have been saying it, but you put it in a form that people can understand it, that don't do deep research. Carl, that's a big problem. You know, we can explain a lot of things, but not everybody does deep research or
right.
even understands it when we do it.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And listen, I want your audience to know, yeah, buy several books, give them to your Sunday school teachers and pastors and Bible study leaders. And listen, don't thrust it at them and say, you need to know this. I mean, because pastors are already intimidated by this quickly changing world. They don't preach prophecy because there's so many isms and schisms, and they're afraid they're going to offend somebody. My book doesn't go into the charts and graphs and maps. It just deals with what the Bible says. I don't try to make anybody believe a certain eschatological theme. I'm just talking about real life, life and death, from the garden to the coming again of the final kingdom, everything that has happened, everything that is happening, everything that's going to happen, and tying it all together. Now, I've written it in a way that each of these chapters could be a sermon that a pastor could preach, or each of these chapters could be a Bible study. You can have home Bible studies. You can have group Bible studies. If your pastors approve it, you can have Sunday school lessons out of it. And there's nothing in there that's going to be heresy. I mean, it's, you know, it's fresh, it's exciting, it's sensational, but it's right there in the scriptures, and it's proven, like I just said, and not just my opinion proven. I mean, scholars, I mean, it's better than most of your Sunday school material. Most of your Sunday school material will say something and then doesn't really back it up with a lot of scholarly attestation. They just say it. This is what we believe, by gosh, and this is what it is. Well, my book doesn't do that. I even show some of the other, other people's opposing belief. And then I show how that their belief just doesn't line up with Scripture. And I show you how. So I agree, Pastor Dan. I mean, I encourage people to get several copies and spread them around. And I think it will help pastors a lot. And I'm not being disparaging when I say that. I brother, I'm getting to be an old man. I've been pastoring for 35 years. You know, I was a cop for 10 years before that. I've pastored one church for 33 years. I've written 9 books. I've been all over the media, you know, defending in front of the whole world my writing and my research. So I'm just saying I've been down the road a piece. And so for pastors who are younger than I and, you know, way behind me as far as coming along in the ministry, I think you'll find this book and the other God series books and the Rabbi book, I think you will find them indispensable to your preaching, teaching, and your ministry. And if you'll read those 4 books, the 3 God's books and then the Rabbi and the Secret Message, you'll have a deeper seminary level education than you've had before.
Right. Let me expound on that a little bit. If I had these books, you know, 30 years ago, I'd save myself a lot of research and a lot of time. I mean, because you put it there and you give great arguments, and like you say, I commend that, and we've said it on the program before, about how you give both sides of the story throughout these books. And so it's really that's what makes it a great teaching tool. My Carl Gallup's books are, you know, they're not just perfectly, they're not perfect books now, Carl. They're, you know, kind of, I go back and look at them and I got to, okay, I'm going to mark that. And so, you know, they're kind of like my Bible. They're all worn, torn, and scribbled back to you.
Yeah, well, thanks, brother. I appreciate it. And you and I both, of course, give all praise to the Lord. And we know that the Bible is without error, without mistake. It is the Word of God. My books are not, but my books are like commentaries, if you will, modern day commentaries on the Word of God, backed up by the word studies and modern scholars and the classical scholars, and then connecting other scriptures, showing you that this is not just being invented out of my mind. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm 1,000% correct on everything I write, and it doesn't mean I expect everybody to just say, oh, well, you know, if Carl's proved it, then we got to, you know, believe like Carl believes. No, the books are not written that way either. I'm just encouraging you, get it. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with how easy they are to read and how much information you will get. If you see something you just can't wrap your mind around, or you just say, that just can't be, in spite of what I've shown you, then that's okay. I'm not claiming that my books are equal to the Word of God. I'm just saying I've spent so much of my life teaching, preaching, investigating, studying this stuff, putting it in writing, and then getting out before the world in various media and having it peer reviewed. And over the years, I've had to tweak and dig deeper and answer questions that I couldn't answer before. So I'm just saying I think that these books we've been talking about, and particularly this last one, Gods of the Final Kingdom, I think they will be very useful to today's church if people would pick them up and read them. I think they'll have the same experience you had.
Well, amen. And if you tie in, then you do the Rabbi books, and, you know, I'm also, while I love the God's books, I guess we'll call them, the series, whatever, the Rabbi books are really important because it brings us right to a place in Bible prophecy that we can see that is going on, and that is highly important. And it's highly something that I know that you were called specifically to do, because there's, that's the big thing, there's no counter books out there or anything about it. That's what really fascinates me about the Rabbi Who Found Messiah. Usually you have tons of stuff that comes, oh, this isn't blah, blah, and no, there isn't. because you were called to do that. And it's an ongoing thing that you're still living in, and it is not completed yet.
You're right. No, you're right. It is ongoing. And as a matter of fact, Zev Peratt, who wrote it with me and or contributed a lot of material, he just in the last several weeks, he's got videos on the Internet of where he is leading Orthodox rabbis to Jesus Christ by taking them to that book and from that book into the Word of God. He's discipling IDF Israeli officers and militia guys that have now been introduced to the truths that are in that book, and now they're digging in the scriptures with Zev discipling them. I mean, this is an ongoing living thing that's happening. It's end time stuff. It's Romans chapter 11 stuff. And you're right. The world famous, he's in the top 10 of all talk radio hosts in the world, Barry Farber. He's out of New York.
I interviewed him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's interviewed me several times. I love Barry, but he had me on for the very first Rabbi That Found Messiah book. You know, he's a Jew, and he's not a Christian, but he's a thinking Jew. You know, I mean, he listens, he thinks, he talks. He's a good guy, and he said over the air, this is what he said. Now, it's going to sound a little self-serving, but it proves what you just said. Barry Farber, over the air, he said, Carl Gallups owns this story. And he said, there is no one else in the world that has written to it. There's no one else in the world that can write to it like Carl has. He's covered every angle. There's nothing else to say. He said, this story will blow your mind. And that's what Barry Farber said. And I praise God for that. And it all belongs to Yeshua. All praise to him. But for some reason, he reached down and picked me and said, you're the one that's going to write this story. And it's the only book, well, there was the first one, Rabbi That Found Messiah, back in 2013. And then there's this one, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, 2019, 6 years later. And it's still going. In fact, several big things have happened just in the last several months that Zev and I was talking to him the other day. I said, brother, you do know we're going to have to write another book. And he said, I know. But so far, nobody else has written to it. Not a book. I mean, there's websites and little papers and stuff about it, but nobody has written the book. I mean, it's amazing. You're right. It blows me away too, brother.
Yeah. Amen. It really does. And, yeah, Barry Farber, that's another one of those guys that I interviewed a bunch of years ago. About the same first, right, probably within the same year that I first had you on, I interviewed him. I don't remember why, but it's been such a long time ago. And I didn't know who, here's the funny thing, I didn't know that he was, you know, such a predominant radio talk host, you know. Just, I think it was WorldNet Daily asked me to have him on, and I said, okay, I'll have him on. I didn't even know what I was going to talk about with him because I didn't know who he was. And then people pointed it out afterwards. I thought, oh, well, it was a good interview, right? Yeah, it was a good interview. So, okay. But anyway. But yeah, I really strongly suggest people read the rabbi books. But Carl, really, you were called for this. You have a purpose. Your purpose is not done by far yet. And I can't wait to see what the next chapter is in it. Tell them where they can find your stuff, and I'm going to have to say goodbye to you.
Okay, carlgallups.com, CarlGallups, carlgallups.com. Everything is there. And if you'll go there and click on carlgallups.com, you just put in /books. You'll see all kind of package deals, bulk deals, postage paid, autographed. I mean, just go to carlgallups.com. Everything is there.
All right. Well, Carl, you've been a real blessing, and we'll talk again, and I'll send that book link out, too. So you be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. God bless you.
Yeah. Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallups, and, you know, you got to check out the new book and some of the other books. All of them are great. Carl was called to tell a story, and if you read his books or listen to this program where he's talked about some really big encounters, one with an angel and some really important things, so check it out. And Carl doesn't claim to be 100%. He's just giving you his best perspective. But folks, remember, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really, really do need your help. And support radio. If you enjoy this radio program, share it with others. And please support radio. Now, folks, what is the biggest thing we must remember? We must remember that there really is only one true God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. How can you not be a blessing to others if you have Yeshua in you? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Join us again next week. Check us out on the podcast site. But Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, Father, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.